Well, it strikes me that the theme here today is do it now. You know, Jonah is inspired by God to tell the people of Nineveh that they are on the wrong track and that they need to turn around. And he makes ready and goes. And when he begins this task, I mean, he confronts it, and it turns out, oh, this is big. This city is enormous. And so sometimes we are inspired to do something, and we get ready and we go, and then we realize that it's a bit more of a mountain than can't see the people upstairs. It's a bit more of a mountain than we expected. But what Jonah does is he just starts, takes a step, and starts moving. And the people of Nineveh hear what he has to say and turn around. And God relents of the destruction he had planned. So, at the risk of making God out to be a deist sort of watchmaker who makes things and stands back, let me suggest that the way that God would have destroyed them would be by allowing them to use their freedom to walk off a cliff. If we use our freedom in concert with God's will, God relents of any punishment that might be due us. If I walk off a cliff and deny that gravity will make me fall to the ground, well, is gravity destroying me or am I destroying me? The thing about human beings is that we are called to cooperate in this unfolding of time and history. So Jonah says, turn around. And they do, and they live. Paul, this may be a little confusing. I mean, he does say that, you know, this world is coming to an end. The world as we know it is ending. And he says, if you're weeping, you know, be as if you're not sad. Or if you're married, be as if you don't have a spouse. And what exactly is he saying? And I sort of take that this way. I think his counsel is not to look at the superficial. In other words, weeping or spouses or joys or things that we have in this world, if we stop short and only look at the surface, we miss the eternal. And so this world passes away when we see the love of a spouse and through that find the love of God. When we enjoy the good things of this life, when we see through these gifts to the love of God. When we are weeping and realize that we are sad because we love, we find the love of God. And so as soon as we do, this superficial world passes away. Immediately, right there, we step into eternity. In the psalm, we ask God for guidance. Teach us your ways, O Lord. The beauty of that is that as soon as we say to a teacher, teach us, we admit that we don't know. And so we've learned something right there. And that opens us up to what the teacher has to offer. And our good teacher, Jesus, begins his public ministry with this proclamation of the good news. Repent and believe the good news. The kingdom of God is at hand. I think that's the summary of the gospel right there. You might wonder, what is the kingdom of God? I think that the easiest definition of the kingdom of God, and the Gospels are filled with stories, the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. The kingdom of God is like this. But the quickest definition is found in the Our Father. We say, thy kingdom come. And then we add this parenthetical phrase, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The kingdom is that state where God's will is known and done here and now, just as it is in that state of heaven, in that place where God's will is always perfectly known and done. And so if the kingdom of God is where God's will is known and done, and the kingdom of God is at hand, whose hand? At our hands. It's near. Since the children are here, I'll use an example I used to use with some students that I used to teach. If a rock is sitting on the ground, it's sitting there perfectly doing the will of God, obeying the laws of gravity and all the physical forces. It's just sitting there perfectly. It's in the kingdom, in a sense. A tree that sinks its roots into the ground, reaches its branches to the sky and sprouts leaves, doing its photosynthesis and all its things. That tree is in the kingdom. It's doing God's will perfectly. And a squirrel that always goes by instinct for the closest nut is in the kingdom. Maybe this addresses some of this business about Pope Francis saying whether or not dogs are in heaven. I can argue at least that the dogs are in the kingdom. They're always perfectly doing what dogs ought to do. And so I would say that dogs are definitely in the kingdom of God. So the only creatures that seem to be outside of the kingdom, the ones that don't perfectly do what we ought to do, the ones that don't perfectly exercise freedom, because we're the only ones that have freedom, the only ones that fail to love, that's us. We fail to love. So we're not in the kingdom. In all of creation, we're the only thing that's not in the kingdom. The only things. But the good news is, at any moment, no matter what we've done in the past, we can always stop, turn around, and step into that kingdom. To come to know God's love for us, to receive that love, to share it with our brothers and sisters. And sure, in time, we may step out again. You know, it will happen. But the good news that Jesus gives us is that we can always step back in. So as we continue this celebration of Thanksgiving, let's think about this counsel of the readings today to do it now, to look for instruction from our loving God. And to know that this God is not a distant God, but a God who's come among us very simply as one of us, to show us that we can, in this life, in time, come to know God's will and live it no matter the cost, and step through time into eternal life.